Turn with us, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Last week, we looked at a prayer of Jesus. This week, we're going to visit perhaps a very well-known parable, but we'll be taking sort of a different look at this parable. Perhaps not as it was originally intended, but this will tie in well with the big invite that's coming up for Easter. Mark chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. "And again he began to teach them by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened, as he sowed, that some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears, let him hear.'" In the next paragraph, Jesus explains to the disciples why he is teaching in parables, and he goes on to explain this particular parable of the sower. So if you were to look at verse 13 all the way down to 20, I'm simply going to summarize what Jesus had to say to his disciples. He's like, "Do you not understand the parable that I'm teaching?" And their methods of farming are different than what we do today. So the disciples could understand sowing seeds, but Jesus had to explain to them what he was really trying to say. People today may not understand the sower and why these seeds are falling all over the place. Well, why didn't he put them where they belong? Did he not plow or anything first? And the answer is no. For thousands of years, the way crops were grown, I mean, you might cut down weeds and thorns, but the technology we have to plow and to till the soil and to have a perfect bed for seeding and then to add nitrogen and the fertilizers and the things, they didn't understand the chemistry of the soil. They weren't measuring pH. They simply weren't doing all the things we might do today. And of course, for one person to go out and sow many acres is a whole different undertaking than one of us might plant four tomato plants or put a flower bed in front of our house. So from the beginning of recorded history up until about 200 or 300 years ago, the way farmers planted their crops was to just have a bag of seed, and it was called the broadcast method. All of the soil wasn't overturned on their 10 or 20 acres of land, because that would have taken an incredible amount of manpower, or it would have taken one guy many weeks. We'd be in the middle of summer and the growing season wouldn't have any time left. You have to wait for the ground to thaw, and then you have to get your seeds in the ground in time for them to grow and produce fruit before everything freezes again in October. So the broadcast method is just taking handfuls of seeds and flinging them out onto the ground. You might pick up some big rocks, you might cut down some things in the way so it looks like you have a field, but all of the preparation that we would put today into the ground, they didn't have the time to do by hand or the technology to do otherwise. So he's taking just a handful of seeds and throwing them out. A lot of the seed gets wasted, but it was the only way to sow the acreage that the farmer would have had for their crop. So he's taking out a handful of seeds and just flinging them out onto the ground. Many of those are going to be eaten by birds or wash away when it rains or not find a good place to root. The seeds that do find a good place in the soil are going to produce the harvest that the farmer comes back and collects in the fall. But it's this, and not getting down on hands and knees, making a perfect little 2-inch hole in the ground, placing one seed and covering it up. You can do that with 10 plants. It would be impractical to do that with 1,000 or with 10,000. So Jesus' audience would have understood flinging seeds out and the broadcast method of planting. It's not even planting. It's just throwing your seeds out onto the ground. He explained to the disciples what the different yields of production meant. The sower is the person sharing the gospel. They're sharing the word. They're preaching. They're offering witness. They're testifying to the gospel message. And different people will hear and respond differently. Some people are going to be all excited. They're glad to hear it. They're going to shake your hand and tell you did a great job, and they plan to be back next week and you might never see them again. Some people will hear the message and respond, and Jesus says Satan comes and steals it away. Some people are going to go out into the world and simply be choked down by the cares and concerns and stresses of life, and we've probably all felt like we were choking before. Sometimes the word takes a good root into someone's heart where it can grow and produce fruit, and that's the good soil that yields its produce, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So the parable is about how some people will respond to the gospel and others will not. More people probably ignore it. There's so many different types of things that can go wrong with the seed. Some will fall on stony ground, some will be eaten by birds, some will begin to grow and then be choked up by weeds and by thorns, and that represents what happens to us sometimes in the stress of life. So on your fill-in-the-blank outline there on the back of the bulletin, the soil types represent different people. Jesus shared the parable, and then beginning at 13, he explained to his disciples what the parable meant. The soil types represent different people. But what's the same in every case? The one consistent is the seed. The different soil types, and some is stony ground, and some seed is swallowed by birds, and some is choked up by thorns because it fell in the weeds and the briars. The soil types in the parable represent different people, but the one consistent, no matter what happens after, is the seed. This parable takes for granted that good seed is being sown. Today, you can come across some bad seeds. I don't want to say any individuals' names or the names of churches, but there's that one church with the message of hate where they make the signs and they protest the military funerals and they show up and they carry their signs that say stupid things because they're going to get on the news and draw attention to themselves. Their message is hate and violence, and the only thing they preach is God's judgment. That is not good seed. The other end of the spectrum is to only say nice things and to smile a lot. And I'm not going to say his name, but it's our favorite guy out in Texas that smiles and has the beautiful wife and just talks about how much God wants to bless you and God only wants to do good things for you. And you just need to think positive thoughts and smile. It's not good seed. It's fun to listen to. So if you are in a Bible-believing church and you're being fed from the Word, we can listen to his funny stories, and they're funny. But if you don't already have good roots, your plant will starve to death trying to be spiritually fed. You all know who I'm talking about. They hold their Bible up in the air, and they quote this little thing about it, and then they lay it back down on the floor, and they don't pick it up, and they don't read it. This parable takes for granted good seed is being sown. There's other parables about wolves in sheep's clothing, and to beware of false teachers. Jesus had to deal with those. Paul had to deal with those. The Apostle Paul has people coming along behind him saying, don't listen to that Paul guy. He goes around planting churches, and he has critics that follow him around trying to unplant them again. This parable takes for granted that the gospel message is being taught, that the gospel is being preached correctly. The difference is where the seed lands. The difference is the mind and the heart of different individuals that hear that word and what they do with it. The one consistent is the seed. So what do we need to do? We need to keep sowing gospel seeds. And I added a note about verses 26 through 29. Go ahead and look further down in Mark chapter 4. There's the light under the basket, and there's the parable of the growing seed, and if you keep reading in this chapter, there's the parable of the mustard seed. Everything about Mark 4 is Jesus teaching about agriculture and relating that to sharing the gospel. But look at verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade and then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You've heard me say this before. Today we understand the science behind germination, how cells divide by mitosis. If Johanna hasn't done it yet, she's probably going to have that little experiment where they put the bean in the cup with the wet paper towel or the moistened cotton balls, and you can actually see the bean sprout. And it's not magic, but it looks as if somehow the roots know to grow down and the green shoot knows to rise up. And scientists will tell you there's, what is it? The roots are geocentric and they're pulled toward the ground, and it's all about the magnetic field of the earth and gravity. And the seed doesn't know because it doesn't have a mind to think. But there are reasons that roots go down and the stem and the leaves grow up. It's not magic, and it's not the seed got really lucky. There's science behind it, and of course we believe God designed the seed to work that way. And if Johanna hasn't done that yet, she'll probably do it in the second grade or the third grade. I remember doing that experiment. 2,000 years ago, farmers didn't really know what was happening under the ground. They knew they planted the seed. They knew there needed to be sun and there needed to be rain. And they knew what that harvest looked like when it was ripe, and they went back into the field and they collected it. Jesus says to us that sharing the gospel is the same way. Some people are going to hear the good news and receive it and respond to it. Some people are going to hear the gospel message and not be interested. They might even get angry. They might not even want us to tell them or anybody else. Some people are going to be encouraged and say, yes, this is great. I want to know more. And then they go home and they forget to come back. People will respond differently. But the farmer plants his seed in the ground and can't see what's happening under the soil. When you invite your neighbor to church, when we tell someone what God has done in our lives, we can't see below the surface. We don't know what's going on in their mind. We don't know what's happening inside of a person's heart. We naturally put up defenses to protect people from being able to know what's going on the inside. Do you ever come to church and it's been a bad week and you're tired? And maybe it's the kids, or maybe it's the job, or maybe you haven't had enough sleep, whatever it is. You drive to church, you get out of the car in the parking lot, and it's kind of like putting on a mask. You take it out of the glove box and you stretch the smile over your face. Some people do that, not just at church, some people do that every single morning. They go out and face the world and they smile. How is everything? Everything's fine. And that's a lie. We naturally put up walls, defenses, barriers, sometimes to keep other people from knowing what's going on in our mind and in our heart. And sometimes even without those natural defenses and barriers and walls, some people are just hard to read. There's an old saying, it's very poetic, that eyes are the windows to the soul, but there's no Bible for that. You look into someone's eyes, you just see their eyes. Jesus says what comes out of the mouth is a good indicator of what's inside a person's heart. Really, the mouth is the window into the soul. When the farmer plants the seed in the ground, it's growing and it's sprouting and the roots are going down and the stems are coming up, and he doesn't know how that works. But God does what he does. The seed does what it does in its growing process. The biology and the chemistry may have been beyond these farmers' understanding, but they knew to go back and to collect the harvest. What do? We keep sowing gospel seeds, even though we can't see what's happening in the mind and the heart of the person listening. Now, these farmers probably wasted a lot of seeds. They can only afford to buy so much seed. Our bag that the gospel seeds are coming out of is never going to run empty. It's not like we can run out. If I say to a person, let me tell you what God has done for me, that's not costing anything. My storehouse of telling people is not going to run empty. If you smile and say to your neighbor, we'd love to see you at church, it's not like you have an inventory that's getting marked off and you can't afford to buy more smiles and nice words and invitations. Keep sowing the gospel seeds, because we don't know which ones are going to grow. Easter Sunday is April the 16th. We hope to have a crowd of guests and visitors that day. And to do that, we're going to be inviting our family and friends and neighbors, and we have some invitation cards with the little door hangers cut out, and those are supposed to arrive this week, and I'd like to hand those out to everybody on Sunday. If you look, I've got to pull out the bulletin. So you've got the sermon outline, and then there's a list of prayer requests and prayer needs. And I added a line at the bottom about the Annie Armstrong Easter offering that supports our North American missionaries. And I went ahead and say, pray for our families and friends and neighbors as we invite them to come to church on Easter Sunday. Go ahead and pray for those gospel seeds that we're going to plant. Go ahead and pray that they would find soft soil to land in, so that something can spring up and begin to grow. Another way that the Bible describes that is by talking about the potter's clay. When clay is soft and moist, you can shape it and make something out of it. But as time goes by, it's going to dry out. Maybe at first you can add a few drops of water to it and work it back into the clay, but eventually the clay dries out and gets hard. You can't make anything out of the clay once it's hard. Some people's hearts are soft and they're receptive, and the Holy Spirit can work and do something with that. And some people have already gotten hard. Now, we can't define for God what He's able to do and not do. Chances are, once people get hard, they're not going to hear us anymore, and they're not going to respond, and most people don't respond to the gospel. You and I can't see the heart. We don't know if it's hard or soft or what's going on in a person's mind, in a person's life. The Holy Spirit is always moving and working to draw people to Christ. Our job is to go out into the field and to sow gospel seeds. And we let God do what God does, just like the farmer put his seeds on the ground and waited for the harvest. Keep sowing gospel seeds. Keep sharing a kind word. Continue to invite and continue to pray. The parable takes for granted that good seed is being sown. I can promise you this, if you don't sow any seeds at all, there won't be a harvest to collect. I hate to reference the lottery, but you know the people selling lottery tickets will tell you you can't win if you don't play. No person not buying a ticket has any chance at all. And if you do buy a ticket, your chances are remarkably infinitesimal. But the people that won bought a ticket. We don't know what the harvest is going to look like. Paul says one person plants and another person waters, and it's God that gives the increase. When we share with someone, we might be the middleman. We could be the person pouring on water. The next person you talk to and share the gospel or hand a tract or invite to church could have had a seed planted a long time ago. And we're the person that comes along with the watering can and just pours a little water onto it. And it could be next week or next year or further down the road that the evidence is seen that growth has taken place. But we have to keep sowing the seeds. We have to keep pouring on the water. That's what we do. And the Holy Spirit does what He does in drawing people to Christ. And Christ does what He does, making intercession and going into the presence of God the Father continually and offering His excellent sacrifice. But we have to sow those gospel seeds. We have to fling them out there. There won't be any seeds no matter what the soil is like. Be encouraged. Keep sowing the seeds. The only way to fail is if we give up and do nothing at all. And then there's a 100% chance that nothing will grow. Because it's just barren land and it's weeds and it's thorns and we're not sowing any seeds out into it. I've repeated myself enough. I'm now going to stop before I keep saying the same things over and over again. Pray for our family and friends and neighbors. Pray now for those people that we will invite to Easter Sunday. Pray now that on Easter we have a building full. And if we have two visitors, we'll pray for those as well. Because we don't know how many of them will come back the next week. We don't know their soil type. We don't know how much watering they've had. Our job is to keep sowing gospel seeds. Let's pray together.